Well, now to vocational education, an area we take a particular interest in. Last month, two reports were published about the sector's capacity to deliver on jobs and growth. The reports weren't glowing. The centre was enormous and unwieldy, creating headaches for regulators and would-be students. But there's hope, because on the other side of the world, the UK is reforming its vocational education sector, making it more streamlined, cost-effective, and providing better opportunities for apprenticeships. Now, how does this affect us? Well, the education guru Gavin Moody, who's joining us now, says Australia and Britain have a long history of education policy borrowing. Gavin spent his career in various roles related to tertiary education at a number of universities. Presently, he's adjunct professor of education at RMIT and the University of Toronto, and it's from Canada that he joins me. Welcome, Gavin.
Hello.
Gavin, the British government is calling these reforms the most significant transformation of post-school education in 70 years. So it's big. Before we delve into what is being done, though, what would you say the situation is like now? How does it compare to what we have in Australia?
It bears a lot of similarities because we've been copying from each other. There's a policy to and fro, both in vocational education and higher education, between Australia and Britain. We copy some stuff of theirs and they adopt some stuff from us.
And they've got, theirs is amazingly confusing. I mean, it was really hard trying to work through it. There are 158 different awarding organisations. Many of these are private for-profit companies. And there are 21,000 vocational qualifications. And, you know, one line, prospective plumbers, for instance, have to choose from 33 qualifications offered at three different levels by five different awarding organisations.
Yeah, it is completely weird. There's nothing familiar about that in any other country I can think of, with perhaps an exception, New Zealand 15 or 20 years ago. But that part of it is completely unexpected and strange. How on earth could you get yourself into such a silly position?
I rather like this assessment from the British government, quoting them now. Instead of competition between different awarding organisations leading to better quality and innovation in the design of qualifications, it can lead to a race to the bottom, in which awarding organisations compete to offer qualifications that are easier to pass and therefore of lower value. So that's pretty straightforward. Do you have similar concerns, Gavin, about our Australian system?
Ah, and that's where there's a direct application to Australia. Australia has one qualifications body, and that's a great advance that we introduced from 1992. We've got one coherent national system, but Australia has over 4,000 colleges and providers, and that's where we have similarities with the British system. The vast number of providers and the way the private market operates has created, unfortunately, a race to the bottom where even the high-quality providers have to choose between cutting standards or losing enrolments to providers which are willing to lower standards to attract students.
Yes, they've got 30% of government funding for English in the English system to private providers. Ours is 46% of government-funded vocation education. That's private providers, and that's an increase on the 29% share they had in 2011.
Yes, an explosive growth. Whatever your views on what the role of private providers might be in publicly funded education, that enormous growth in such a short time doesn't look sustainable. It looks as if they've expanded too fast and therefore risk their quality. And that really is cause for concern wherever you think we should end up.
So the new English system is called the Post 16 Skills Plan, and it incorporates two options for students. So what are they?
Ah, right. So what the English are planning to do is introduce two options for the equivalent of our years 11 and 12. So you wouldn't complete our equivalent of HSC or A-levels. You'd either complete a college-based vocational course with a minimum amount of work experience, or you complete a work-based course with a minimum 20% of college-based study. And those two options, they hope to go all the way up to at least degree level.
So what would that mean for their private colleges then?
Ah, well, it would mean that they would have to offer just one of the approved awards and not multiply their own qualifications with perhaps variable standards. They'd have to offer one, the single approved national qualification. In that way, it'd be like Australia. Australia is developing one approved set of qualifications in each broad field, developed by one provider. Mostly the contracts have gone to private providers. And so any college has to offer the approved qualification.
Okay, so in fact, would it be fair to say it's the reinsertion of government to sort of to sit over the top of it, almost to regulate well and to say, right, well, we're going to insist on a certain level of competency, to use that phrase. Might it also help with apprenticeships? Because that's been the worry in both countries, that there's just this far too little training of people for the apprenticeship systems for the skills we'll need.
Absolutely, yes, it's the government re-intervening. The government established the market in the first place, taking account of the historical legacies, invested interests, and whatnot, and it's gone awry. So the government has had to intervene and reset the market and let it go again. And secondly, the British government has been very strong on apprentices for these last five or so years, and it has developed apprenticeships in rather a different way than Australia has conceived it. The British are reintroducing apprenticeships for lawyers and accountants and managers, what they call degree apprentices. That is, apprentices that have the same qualification level as a bachelor degree and is granted the same recognition in the qualification system as a baccalaureate is.
So, okay, just develop that idea about reintroducing the apprenticeships for these professionals. I haven't heard that.
No, quite. And it's quite novel, but it is a return to the past. We recall before our time, when lawyers were trained as articled clerks. That is to say, you joined a solicitor's office and you worked as an apprentice for 4 to 6 years, gradually getting the qualifications, passing the exams, and becoming qualified as a solicitor through an apprenticeship. That used to be done. It was done away with, about 20 years ago, both in Australia and in the UK. And the British government has reinvented those, and it is working with major law firms, the big accounting firms, and the big consultancy firms to re-establish what we might call a modern professional apprenticeship.
How interesting. That's sort of like a back to the future just as we're entering this digital age. It doesn't quite make sense.
No, absolutely it is back to the future, and absolutely you wonder how that goes, because it contradicts the trends of the last 20 or 30 years, where we've been moving training away from apprenticeship model towards a degree model. We've done that in teaching, we've done that in nursing, we've done that in so many other occupations. Now the British government are saying, no, we want to reverse that. And one of the reasons why we want to reverse that is we want to take these highly prestigious, highly valued, highly remunerative occupations and say, there's an alternative route. Yes, you can still go to a university and you can get a degree and do your 1 year's articles, or you can do it totally in-house with a minimum of 20% college or university coursework.
Well, and just before, we've only got a couple of minutes to go, yeah. I know there's also going to be a levy re-established, isn't there, which we dropped effectively in about 1994, I think, yes. On employers who employ over a certain number of people, that they have to contribute to the development of apprentices.
Yes, absolutely. The government found that there was not sufficient funds to support the expansion of apprenticeships that they thought desirable, and so they've introduced a levy. I'm not sure that the Brits have had a levy. About 60 countries have employment levies of one sort or another. Very common in continental Europe. Very common in Latin America, and of mixed reception both in Australia. And it must be said amongst British employers.
All right.
But nonetheless, it's an interesting idea.
Gavin, the news is upon us almost. Thank you very much indeed for bringing us up to date with some very interesting developments.
Thank you very much, Geraldine.
Gavin Moody, adjunct professor at RMIT, well known, I think, to many Australians, and he's worked in education, and he's speaking to us from Toronto. And love your thoughts. I know that we always get a lot of letters on these issues of vocational education. Coming up after the news, EJ Dion on what might be a tipping point in the American election, and also the latest on Malaysia. It's news time, 8 o'clock.